When something gets into your heart, you need to be cautious of it. Because one day it will let you do something that you have never thought you are capable of. David got an image and he became a murderer and an idolater. I don't think that David made up his mind that's what he wanted to do. But he didn't. Why? Because his heart was unguarded.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Okay, shall we pray briefly? Father, we ask of you this morning that you will speak to our hearts as we search the scriptures together. Open our hearts, open our minds, strengthen us with your truth. Even in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, so we've been studying about the heart. Everybody say the heart. And we are not talking about the physical heart, but we are talking about the subconscious mind. That is your heart. That part of you that controls pretty much everything you do. Most of your involuntary action comes from your heart. That is the real you. And we have said over the last few weeks that your heart vetoes any and everything you do. In other words, your heart will override. So you can pray for 10 hours. If your heart is not right, God is not listening to it. He says, "These people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You will seek me and find me when you do it with all of your heart." The heart is desperately wicked. He says, "Who can know it?" And then he goes on to say that I, the Lord, search the heart and I search the reins to give to every man according to his what? According to his heart. So we have understood that just as our hearts vetoes the things we do, we must pay attention to the purity of our hearts. And today, I want to focus on how to guard your heart. Some of us, we are so careless. We allow just pretty much anything to come into our hearts. Guard your heart. Say that with me. Come on, let's say that again. Guard your heart. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Please look there with me in the 23rd verse. I'll read this in the New Living Translation. It says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Please, if you can, read with me from the screen, shall we? Guard your heart. Pause right there. Let's do it again. Guard your heart. Continue. Above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Have you ever heard someone say, "Ah, I love you"? Have you heard it before? Have you? Then after a few years, the same person comes by, "I don't love you anymore." Have you heard it before? What happened? Because there was a time and a season that love was in the heart. And now it is not in the heart. So your heart has the ability to receive some things, and then your heart also has the ability to dispel some things. Some things can enter, and some things can leave it. So to speak, your heart has a gateway. It has a door. There is an avenue. And I want us to begin to look at that from the scriptural standpoint, and then begin to fully understand how to guard it. Amen. So before we look at the guard, I want us to look at the gateways. What are the things that allow things into our heart. Number one, the gateway or the door to your heart are the things that you see. What we see, the images you see, will always have an effect on your heart. So if you watch pornography, it will give you a pornographic heart. Are you with me? So your eye is a gateway. Everybody say my eye. It's a gateway. Secondly, your ears are also a gateway. What you hear. What you hear. What you hear. The things that you hear are gateways. Thirdly, the things you experience. So what you see, what you hear, the things you experience. To put it another way, images, information, involvement. The things you are involved in will gradually seep into your heart. The things, the information you are taking in will affect your heart. There is no way you open yourself up to information and be the same. Something will happen to you. All right? We will look at the process. And then the images. This is why phones are very dangerous, because it has all three of them. The phone has things you can hear. It has images you can see. And the videos you watch oftentimes expresses the experiences you've already had. So be careful how you mess around with this little tool. Amen. Just because you see an image or hear a word or go through an experience does not mean it is in your heart. No. It actually has to go through a process. Everybody say process. So if I see something, that thing is not in my heart. It's in my conscious mind. It has not sunk into my subconscious mind yet. There is a process that takes place that moves that image from your thinking into your heart. And I want us to examine that. How do things enter into our hearts? Please write it down. First of all, if you see something or you hear something or you experience something, understand this. You must accept it and believe it. You know how sometimes we see stuff and then you hear people say things like, a picture is worth 1,000 what? And you don't even scrutinize it. You accept it and you believe it. As soon as you do that, you have begun the process of transferring that image into your heart. The second thing is that you must hear, see, experience it over and over. Over and over simply means repetition. What? Have you ever watched a football game or a soccer game? When they get to, or maybe you are listening to news, when they get to the commercial, do you realize that the same commercial plays what? Over. And so Satan understands. Christians don't like repetition. If you came back to church next week and I preach the same message, most of you be angry. Ah, pastor didn't study and pray. Why is he giving us the same old way? If something is going to sink in your heart, it must be repeated. And it must not be repeated one time. It must be repeated what? Over and over. When I was growing up, the area where we used to live, there was a recording studio. That's how we call it back then. It was a place where they play songs and people bought stuff. And you could go and buy cassette. Anybody? I think most of you are old enough to remember cassette, right? And the songs that were played there were not Christian songs. But because they played over and over, and I could hear it over and over, one day I was in church and they gave me the microphone to lead worship. And then when I opened my mouth, I said, get down on it. And then pastor said, hey, you cannot do that. Because the repetition is getting to me. Before I reminded myself, no, we can't get down on this here. This ain't allowed here. So please do not deceive yourself into thinking that if you expose yourself to images repeatedly, information repeatedly, and then you keep experiencing certain things repeatedly, it's not going to get into you. You have already opened the gateway to get that thing into your heart. In the same way, if you take the word of God and you keep repeating it over and over and over, it will sink into your heart. Are you with me? You must expose yourself to the word, because anything you repeat is going to be there. Now, let's all be honest. When we were growing up, I don't know about you, but the schools I went to, you all remember that the teacher would come and then they have a stick in their hands. You remember that? Some of you, can you remember? You remember that? And then the teacher would say, T, T, U, U, R, R, N, N, E, E, D, D. What have you spelled? Turn. And they keep repeating it until learning takes place. So the concept of repetition, it is so that learning will do what? Take place. And it takes place automatically because your mind has been engineered in such a way that the information or the images or the experiences it gets used to, it sinks into your subconscious mind. Are you here with me? So how do things enter into our hearts? We must first of all accept it and believe it. So you can see information. You can see images. Listen to information. If you refuse it, you have not begun the process. As soon as you accept it and you believe it, you have just opened the door. Amen. Secondly, it must be repeated. In other words, you keep accepting it and you keep what? Believing it. The third line of how things get into us is that you notice that you are occupied with the thing. Morning, afternoon, evening, morning, every time it is on your mind. When you realize something is on your mind all the time, please understand, it's already in there. It's got it in. That's why it's on your mind all the time. Today, we want to study, and I want to walk you through, because this is nothing extraordinary. It is a process in life, but I want to show it to you from the Word of God. Go with me to the book of 2 Samuel. We'll look at a guy called David. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, reading the verses 1-4, the Bible says, in the spring, when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, one evening, David rose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house. When from there, he saw a woman bathing, and he was very lovely to behold. What does the word behold mean? So that is an image. Are you with me? David sent and inquired about the woman. So first of all, an image is presented to the guy. And then he decided, let's go find out about her. That means he's accepted it. And he started believing that, yeah, she's beautiful. So now he's moving to the second stage. So he sent people, go find out, who is this girl? I'm reading verse 3 again. David sent and inquired about the woman. One said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Please underline that because it will make sense later. The wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, if you notice, David has all the strong men who were fighting for him. Uriah was one of them. So if there was anybody you were going to want to take his wife, not somebody who is fighting for you. But you see, when something is in your heart, there are no stops. You will do it before you see it. You all remember when I talk about the purity of your heart, that you must be careful because whatever is in your heart is going to pop out. And this is why you need to constantly lay the heart before what? The Lord. When David was in his palace, did he make up his mind he was going to sleep with a woman? Yeah, but as soon as you expose your heart to something, you are capable of it. So be careful. David sent messengers and they took her, and she came in to him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house. Interesting. David did not make up his mind that he was going to sleep with somebody's wife. But once he exposed his mind to an image and allowed the second process to follow through, it was going to be obvious. It occupied him. So he followed through. Amen. Now, I'm going to keep going from the Old Testament till I reach New Testament, and we'll talk about Brother Judas and see how most of us, me and you, how we allow our hearts to be unguarded. Sometimes when people start setting conversations in front of you, you need to simply just shut the conversation down. You know why? Because before you realize, your heart is wrapped up all in it. Somebody was asking me, there was something about T.D. Jakes. Pastor, do you know? I said, I don't even spend an iota of energy to read that. Because by the time I am done reading it, my heart has been destroyed about him. God called superstars. He called angels. He already told Israel, if I allow an angel to lead you, you all will come around limping. Because angels don't have patience. They will break your legs. But it's like me and you. We have all been limping. You remember the angel that Jacob messed around? What did he do? So all of us will be in church. What the mighty God we serve. We will all be limping. He will break all of our legs. So God decided, let me let human beings lead what? And he didn't choose angels. He chose human beings. Be careful what you are allowing in, because it destroys. Let's look at David's son Absalom and another son of his called Amnon. 2 Samuel 13. I'll read verse 1 and 2. Absalom, son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, her half-brother's son of David, loved her. To me, this is foolishness, right? The guy is lusting after a half-sister. And Amnon was so troubled that, notice the use of the word, troubled, meaning that he's occupied with it. I wanted to see the gateway. When you see an image, get an information, and it starts occupying you, it means you are opening your heart to the thing. Remember those three things we talked about. What are these? What are those three processes? Let's go back to it. You must accept it and what? Believe it. And it must be repeated over and what? Over. And then you become occupied with it. As soon as you get to that stage, that means you're done. All right? So the scripture says, verse 5, 2 Samuel 13. Jonadab said to him, go to bed and pretend you are sick. And when your father David comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare it in my sight that I may see it and eat it. Pastor, we know the story. Why are you reading it? Because I want you to see the progression. I want you to see the process. Nobody gets up one day and does something. The thing has been brewing in their hearts for a long time. So now he has somebody who is adding to the image. She's not only beautiful, you are not desiring your half-sister to sleep with her, but please understand, just lay in the bed like you are sick. Daddy comes, tell daddy I'm so sick. The only way I'll get better is that my sister cooks for me. Now, if David was in his right mind, you should know this is a bunch of baloney. If you are sick, you take medication. Even if Thomas' soup was so good, why should she have to come and do it in here? Let us not be smart to start saying there's something wrong with Amnon. As long as you are occupied with it. Oh, thou married man, who saw this girl? Then it starts occupying you. Maybe you might not get her, but you might get someone who looks like her. Never allow images that are unacceptable to God occupy you. Now let's bring it down. It's a co-worker. You walk into their office and then you realize, I wish I was in that seat. You have had an image presented to you. I wish I was in that seat. Child, your time will come. Don't wish stuff. Satan is a smart dude. Before you and I were born, he was already here. And he's been presenting stuff to people and he's got them. So don't play smart. If the Bible says flee, you have to flee. Amen. So Jonadab told him, hey, just go lie down. Just pretend like, Verse 22, 2 Samuel 13. And Absalom spoke to Amnon, neither good nor bad. This is after Amnon defiled her sister. But remember that for Amnon, Tamar is her half-sister. So the actual sibling is Absalom. And the Bible says, and Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad. It's as if nothing has what? So for Absalom's case, it is not because an image was presented to him, but an information got to him. I want you to see the interplay. And he did not respond to it, but he took the thing what? Inside. Everybody look at verse 28. Read with me. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Be careful of people who get you involved in their dirty schemes. Sometimes there are people we hate because our friends hate them. Not because they've done anything to you. You are contaminating your heart. Guard your heart. If it's somebody's enemy, that is your enemy. That is not my enemy. Period. And it works amongst couples. If the wife doesn't like someone, they expect the husband not to like the other one too. No, that is your enemy. Keep it to yourself. I don't want to have enemies. Life has enough troubles. Don't get me. You see Absalom telling the guy, don't worry. Have I not commanded you? For what? If you have decided to make someone an enemy, that's your enemy. Not in making enemies. The two shall be one, not in making enemies. No. No. So I want you to see the progression. He gets an information. Amnon sees an image. They allow that thing. You see, he says, over days. There is a verse I skipped. The Bible says it took 2 years for Absalom to strike. 2 years. So he was laying low. When something gets into your heart, you need to be cautious of it. Because one day it will let you do something that you have never thought you are capable of. David got an image and he became a murderer and an idolater. I don't think that David made up his mind that's what he wanted to do. But he didn't. Why? Because his heart was unguarded. Let's see another guy related to David. His name is Ahithophel. Ahithophel. In 2 Samuel 16:23, the Bible says this about Ahithophel. And the counsel of Ahithophel in those days was as if a man has consulted the word of God. So was all Ahithophel's counsel. Not some of them, everything the guy said. Considered both by David and Absalom. Now look at verse 20 to 21 of 2 Samuel 16. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give your counsel. What shall we do? And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in to your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house. And all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hand of all who are with you will be made strong. Does it sound like an advice that comes from God? So what changed Ahithophel's mind, his heart? Because when David took Bathsheba, the scripture says, Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. And if you study 2 Samuel 23 in the genealogies as they mention it, you'll notice that Bathsheba is Ahithophel's granddaughter. So something, an experience have occurred. So I've shown you someone who saw an image, another person who has what? An information. And here is someone having an experience. So the guy who could give counsel that looks like God has come down, all of a sudden is talking nonsense. That is how the human heart is. The Bible says it's desperately what? Wicked. So be careful when people start presenting information to you, gossip. Don't take it because they are destroying your what? Your heart. If you don't have to see an image, shut it down because it will start stirring up things. I have seen men and women. Please forgive me if I say this. You know how sometimes there are people married and then they are actually married to a TV host. Or they are married to someone in a soap opera, a show they saw, because they have accepted and believed that image and they are in love with that person, but they are married to somebody else. Let us be careful. Let us what? The Bible says, guard your heart, keep it with all diligence. In other words, don't become lazy about it. You have to be very careful. It is work. Keep your heart. Remember, it controls your prayer. So you must be serious about this. It controls so many things in your life. Keep your heart. Keep your... Let's go to Mama Eve, the first woman. Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that Satan comes in the form of the serpent, and then they start having conversation. Now, please, lift your head and look at me. Suppose this is the perimeter of the Garden of Eden. Eve and Adam have been going through that garden. Have they seen the tree of life before? Yes. Have they seen the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before? Yes. Have they seen it only one time? No. They have seen it so many times until Satan shows up and he points them to something. Let's read it. I don't want to jump it. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty. I'm reading Genesis 3, verse 1. More crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman says to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. You see, she could even give you the location of the tree that tells you she's seen the tree before. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. What is the serpent doing? He presents information. You will not surely what? Okay. You know how sometimes we receive information and we don't believe it? And then there's a follow-up. That's what Satan does here. He does not only give the information, but he follows the information with a picture. Next verse. Verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, blessing and calamity. And when Eve saw, what did she see? She's been seeing this tree all the time, all these years. What is it that she saw that is different from what she's been seeing? Because Satan painted a picture. Some of us, we are in love with pictures. We are in love with models. You're destroying over your marriage over a picture. Why is the place that quiet? It's sinking, sinking. And the woman saw, everybody say, and she saw. She saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable to gain wisdom. She took some, ate it. She also gave some to her husband. I will translate. Our wives, be careful what you drag us along into. You really take us far. In the name of love, we'll be embracing it. Only to find out later we just disobeyed God. In the name, that is why I said, if your spouse has an enemy, don't go along. Because you don't know what you have been dragged into. Holy Ghost, help me. She saw. Everybody say she saw. But she's been seeing this tree all this while. Why is this particular saw or seeing? Forgive my grammar. Why is this particular saw or seeing so different? Because the devil has painted a picture. Oh, that fruit that you thought is nothing? Is the very one thing God is trying to hide. You will become just like God. After all, you were created in his image. I'm playing the devil's advocate. So she takes it and then comes over and says, hello, darling. How are you doing today? How was your walk in the garden? I've been looking all over for you. When Satan came, where was Adam? Adam wasn't asleep. Adam, it's only God who put Adam to sleep. Guys, don't allow your wife to become the only prayer warrior in the home. I have been wondering for years. I've still not had an answer. Where was Adam in the garden that Satan... And please, remember, I've taught you this before. In God's organogram means his... If God was an organization and you follow the organizational chart, it is God, the man, the woman, before angelic beings. They are lower than us. So if Satan was going to trip up Adam, he couldn't just jump the woman. He has to go to the next one, his immediate stuff. He has to go deal with the woman. He couldn't go to the man. He had to deal with her. And he got her. And after he got her, she went to get the next one. Be careful. Satan has got a long-term strategy. His focus was Adam, because when the words were spoken, it was spoken to Adam. So to get Adam to disobey, he goes through the next line. And then she goes with, I love you, baby. Let us be careful. Are you seeing the process? So for Eve, it was not just information. It was information. It was an image, but also it was an experience. Because after she ate it, she said, this stuff is good. I just look like God. And told the husband to take it. And the Bible says as soon as he takes it, the one who received the instruction from God, that's when Eve realizes, I need you to pay attention. When Eve eats it, she still doesn't see it. Until the one who was given the instruction by God eats it, then all of a sudden, they both realize they are what? Naked. Let's remind ourselves, how does things get into our hearts? You must accept it and what? Believe it. You must hear it over and over. You must see that image over and that experience over and this is why you must take God's word and take it in over and so if you find me this year, come to teach something, and the next week I bring the same thing. Don't shut me down. I'm trying to get it into your heart. You often hear Christians, today we are going to receive a fresh word. What have you done with the last one? Don't be in a rush. I'm telling you, sometimes I wrestle with one verse for 2 years to understand what it's saying. Because if something is in my heart, it's in my heart. You can cut my head off. The thing is in my heart. There is a process. Don't go and pray. Father, I pray. I bind the demons from my mother's village who are making sure I don't get this word inside. Keep repeating it. It will go on its own. Don't need fasting. Don't need no prayer. It will go. It's a process. It will end up there. Are you learning anything today? Okay, now let's look at brother Judas Iscariot. And I want you to read with me very carefully because you will begin to see a picture of most New Testament saints in this dude. When Jesus took Judas, did Judas have it in his mind to betray Jesus? The answer is no. John chapter 12. Go there with me and let's examine something. John chapter 12. Let's read the first 6 verses. I've been reading all those scriptures from the Amplified Bible. So 6 days before the Passover, please notice the scriptures doesn't say things anyhow. He said how many days before the Passover? So he actually betrayed Jesus on the day of the Passover. So it means 6 days before he actually did it, the thing was not in his heart. But it took 6 days to cook it. For him to do it. So sometimes some things are not 6 days. Sometimes some can be very quick in a day or two. But most of the time it takes a while. It gets cooked slowly. And it gets into your heart. And once it gets there, you realize that you don't have any stops. Have you ever looked at a spouse or someone or a child or a friend and said, I can't believe they did that? Anybody? Oh, come on. Don't be lingering here by myself. Yeah. Have you ever said that? Because you assume this person is not capable of that. No. I told you the other day, we have the instincts of being murderous on the inside. Once you allow something from the exterior to activate it, you will murder. That is why you need to lay in God's presence. This is why prayer should not become about things. I still believe this, and I'll say it again, that the highest mandate of prayer is transformation. You lay in His presence, and God transforms your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. In fact, it was Paul who said, we all, beholding the face of the Lord as in the glass, we are transformed. So when we gather at one night with a king, don't ask me questions like, how do we want to spend 10 hours? What exactly are we asking God? It is because your understanding of prayer is wrong. You think it's about things. It is about the transformation of your heart.
6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had died, whom he had been raised from the dead. So they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was the one of those sitting at the table. Wow. Verse 3. Mary took a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, a rare perfume. That was very expensive, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And the whole house was filled with fragrance. That is what worship ought to do. There has to be a fragrance that does not just fill the house of a building, but this house. That if you worship properly, it must fill this house. We're not preaching about that. Verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, you know, have you realized that anytime Judas' name is mentioned in the Bible, they mention the full name? But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, now this part of the scripture is foreshadowing, okay? Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, a year's wage for an ordinary workman, and the money given to the poor? Now, what he said, what is wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. This is why your head can be deceptive. Because your heart. The next verse tells us, put up verse 6. What does he say? Now he did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having the bag, the money box. So Jesus had church members who stole money. Come on. Am I right? Yeah, if you steal money, I'll forgive you one time. It happens two, I'll forgive you. Third one, I'll give it to FBI. It never happens here. I'm always blessed with the people who are so honest. I remember this year, just before we sent out the tax information, and they had done reconciliation and some things where you have to call the bank, do all kinds of things, and we're going through all the receipts for everything, and it took days for that to be completed. And I just sat there and I said, wow, Lord, I thank you for those you have given me. I think it's a good place to clap for them. And they see me do it too. Sometimes people will send $5 to the church electronically and they'll make a mistake and send it to me. But I will make sure they get the $5. I could have simply said, it's on my phone anyway. No. I'll be opening my heart to something much bigger. But it starts with $5. So he said it's not because he cared, but because the Bible says he was a thief. In other words, he was a pretender. That means the heart was not pure. Are you hearing me? But Jesus said, let her alone. It was intended that she should keep it for the time of my preparation for burial. She has kept it that she might have it for the time of my embalming. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. What has happened? There is an experience. Jesus has rebuked his financial secretary publicly. Sometimes some of you will receive a rebuke from me as a pastor. Be careful where that rebuke takes you. Because that's all that happened here. Now, has Jesus rebuked somebody before? Yes. You remember how many times he rebuked Peter? To the point that he called him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Did Peter allow that thing to get into his heart? No. So it is not what takes place. It's not the experiences of our lives. It is whether we are accepting it and believing it and playing it over and over, and it occupies us, and before we realize, the enemy has taken over. Guard your heart. I said, guard your heart. It is not a thing coming at you. It is the heart that needs to be guarded. And sometimes there are things we simply just need to ignore. I have cases where sometimes people go, "Pastor, can you pray for me?" And once they kneel and my hands is going, then I begin to remember all the crazy stuff I know they have said.
Okay, now, what would be your advice for me? Steve, what would be your advice for me? I should ask you. The person is already kneeling, and my hands is already there. And you can tell that they are in the throes of difficulty. That moment, they are looking at you. This is the man of God in my life. Declare something to happen. And I have to learn how to shift my head immediately and say, Lord, grant me an open heart to bless this one. When we go and we come back, because we will come back. The Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. You are not staying in heaven. We will come back on earth. Because the scripture says, heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So this whole idea that we are bound for heaven, it's a lie. No, you go temporarily, but you're coming back to earth. When we come back, I don't want to be a pastor. But it's rewarding. Because had I not been, I don't know what that would be. Engineer, doctor, actually, I wanted to fly planes. I really wanted to fly planes so bad. That's why I like jets. But Jesus said, let it alone. So Jesus rebukes this guy. There is an experience, and the experience introduces something into his heart. Be careful the things you are experiencing. You must be careful not to accept them, not believe them. Because sometimes somebody may say something about you and it's not true about you. And if it is true about you, you accept it, you believe it, and you repent, and you move on. Are you guys understanding me? All right, now let's go to the next verse. So Jesus speaks. Look at chapter 13, verse 2. Put that up for me. Everybody read with me. So it was during supper. Satan had already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Now, they did not even mention his full name. They added his papa's name. Did you guys just see that? Satan has already what? So Satan does not put stuff into people's hearts that have not already been what? Opened. Jesus rebukes him. Jesus, you got to be kidding me, man. It's me, Judas. I carry the bag. I am your financial secretary. How can you disgrace me publicly? The heart is opened. And Satan begins to put the thoughts there. A pastor once called me and he was trying to tell me about his encounter with one of our church members and was telling me to be careful of the person. So when he started the conversation and he got to a point, I said, Pastor, hold on a second. So I flipped the phone as if I was taking a call. And I didn't take a call and I hanged him. Later on, he called me and said, the phone hung. I said, because it's not a conversation I want to have. Because you're changing the way I look at this church member of mine. If behind closed doors they are cooking their own thing, you will fall into your own ditch. I am not somebody to mess with. No child of God can be messed with, including you. Nobody can mess with you and go scot-free. Nobody. Are you understanding me? So don't spend all your energy, because if you are not careful, you will become just the same way they are. Because after you listen to all that, your whole mind is destroyed. So Peter heard Jesus rebuke him. Satan could not sow a seed into Peter's heart. But as soon as Judas starts saying, he thinks I'm a thief. The truth is, you are a thief. And he believes it. So Satan comes in and he put the thoughts. Now go with me. We are still in chapter 13. Go to verse 26 and 27. Jesus answered, it is the one to whom, you know, they were sitting at a table. Remember, 6 days before, the guy had never thought about betraying Jesus. 6 days before. But as soon as Jesus speaks, the thing gets stirred up. Right? So they are sitting at the table. Somebody asked Jesus, who is it that will betray you? Guess who asked the question? Peter.
Jesus answered, "It is one to whom I am going to give this morsel of food after I dipped it." So when he has dipped the morsel of bread into the dish, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. Verse 27. Then, after he had taken the bit of food, Satan entered into and took possession of Judas. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do it more swiftly than you seem to intend, and make it quick." In other words, Jesus said, "Listen, your heart is full of this stuff, so just get it over with. I want you to see the progression. An experience stirs up something. He opens his heart. Satan puts the thoughts. And then now Satan actually enters." So the guy who was a friend of Jesus now becomes a betrayer of Jesus. The interesting part is that God has worked it in such a way that later on people repent. But by the time he repent, he couldn't deal with it. So he killed himself. You remember Ahithophel? When Absalom didn't take his advice, the Bible says he got on his horse, ran home, and he hung himself. Whenever you open your heart up to the enemy, you will be destroyed. So today, I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you. Tell them, you got to guard your heart. Let's read the last verse. Look at the last verse, 30. Read with me, shall we? Go. So after receiving the bit of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. Jesus rebukes him. He has an experience. His heart is opened up, accepts, believes it. This guy, he's got to die. He's got to die. I just don't get it. He gets preoccupied with it. And then the Pharisees and the others come in. "Hey, we want the dude. Would you help us?" He agrees. And the Bible says Satan put thoughts in there. And once Satan enters him, he brings with him darkness. Look at that verse. He says, and it was night. Not night as in physical night, but it was night in his heart. It was night in there. Don't open your heart to just anything. Be careful what you are opening yourself up to. The images you are hiding in a corner watching. There was a pastor who once told me that I was very proud. And I told him, "This is why I am still a believer. And this is why Jesus died, so he should pray for me." And I closed my eyes and asked him to pray. I said, "Please, lay your hand over my head and ask the Lord to help me with my pride." You know what his issue was? Because he wanted to talk about another pastor, and I was not willing to listen. I told him, "Just pray for me so I will get better by listening. But I ain't listening to something about somebody else, because you're just going to destroy my heart for that person." Can you see how sometimes people look so good? And just because of one thing, one image, one statement, one word, some experience, I cannot believe that they saw me in church and they didn't want to talk to me. One experience. So on your way home, Satan says, "You saw the pastor and his wife. They didn't talk to you. Hey, they don't like you. They don't. Did you even see how Pastor Neil was standing there? And then the way he shook his shoulder like that? I think he's angry." People, what is it? The things I'm carrying is way too much for me to come worry about that. One experience. And it turns everything around. When you start allowing the thoughts to linger, ask yourself, who put it there? Because the devil has a right to put thoughts in your mind.
You all remember Acts chapter 5. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? In Acts chapter 4, what happened? There is a guy called Levi, Joseph a Levi, right? And Joseph was the one the apostles named what? Barnabas. The Bible says everybody was selling their property, bringing it over. Barnabas sold his property and he brought it over. So as soon as they brought it, Pastor Neil gave him a special name, Barnabas, son of encouragement. I'm bringing it into our contest here. So Ananias and Sapphira are sitting there. Ananias said, did you see that? Sapphira said, yeah, I did. It's coming, you know. The time is now that we need to be recognized too. But the scripture says, for theirs, something was not right with it. Why? Because their hearts. Please, let us check the heart. Is it okay if you look at the person? I'm closing. Look at the person sitting next to you. And tell them, please check the heart. Because as soon as darkness descends on you, you will do things that you would wonder. When you find men of God who are sleeping with other people's wives, it is a process. I am capable of doing the same. That's why I don't like the process to begin. You have a husband. You realize that this girl, like, you know, it's like a, and you're just staying there. Oh, he's a prayerful man. No! You go and stand in between. He said, child, I've seen what you've been doing. Get out of here. That is the best thing you can do for the guy. Instead of going on your knees, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I bind, I loose, I bind. Simply just walk close, stand in between, and say, girl, get out of here. I can't believe that, Pastor. My wife is too jealous. She's so jealous. Anytime she sees, bro, she's saving you from fornication. Satan is at work. He knows when your heart is contaminated, your prayer doesn't work. So he's not going to stop you from praying. And I said it and I'll say it again. Take the continent of Africa. Who prays more than we do? But we are still the poorest. Because the guy in the prayer meeting is saying, as soon as church is over, he's going to swindle someone. So the heart has already vetoed the prayer. This is why we pray and pray and pray. And it becomes a religious act. Because God is saying, no, no, those hearts are not mine. He wants your heart. He wants my heart, your heart, our hearts. God wants it. Once he gets it, everything is going to be fine. What have you allowed into your heart? The Bible says, keep it with diligence. He's telling you that it's not cheap. It's difficult. That is why he says, be diligent about it. To be diligent means you are intentional. It's something you are always cautious of. What have you allowed into your heart? When you go home, I'm going to give you an assignment. Take pen and paper. Sing a song or two. And be honest with yourself. And title the list, things I have allowed into my heart. It would amaze you what you have allowed. I have a very strong pictorial mind. My wife knows it. Anytime God reveals a scripture to me, it doesn't come as a word. It comes as a picture. I can see the scripture and see what it means on the other side like that. And it translates into my natural life. So I don't walk into the mall and see something looking good and keep looking. Else I take it home. One of my kids one time asked me, Daddy, why all of a sudden binding? I said, son, you will not understand. Son, you will not understand. Didn't the scripture says, even Gabriel, who stood before God, when he stood toe to toe with Satan, he did not bind him. He says, the Lord rebuke you instead.
We are not elevating the devil, but we are just letting you know the enemy we are dealing with is not a simple one. And because he wants your heart, and God also wants your heart, you must be careful at every point in time who has the heart. Is it God or is it Satan? There is no middle ground. Either Satan is in control of that heart or God is in control of that heart. And it stems from the things we are allowing in. So guard your heart. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.